I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it. Well, I am so excited because Slater Kinney is back. Yeah, they're back. Gary Brownstein, Janet Weiss, Corin Tucker. It's been about 8 years since the band went on indefinite hiatus. They
remember that tour we went to?
It was one of the last concerts that they gave in 2006. They put out their last record, The Woods, in 2005. They went on tour.
We have that concert online.
We still have that. You can still listen to that concert from 2006 at the 930 Club on our website. But anyway, the band is back together. 8 years later, they've got a new record coming called No Cities to Love. And this is the first single from that record called Bury Our Friends. Love rock and roll. Slater Kinney, new song from a new record, the song Bury Our Friends from No Cities to Love. Carrie dropped us a note about this record, and she said that she spent a lot of time writing choruses, and I was thinking that as I was listening to the chorus to that, just how incredibly catchy it is, and that they really focused on melody. They took a very deliberate approach to writing this record and really spent a lot of time thinking about it. Carrie said in her note that creativity is all about where you want your blood to flow, and that in order to do something meaningful and powerful, there has to be some sort of life inside it. And she feels like, in retrospect, maybe the band was sort of running out of gas after The Woods and needed a break, and they all went on to other projects, but the time felt right to get back together, reinvigorated, and to do this record. It is out January 20th. So very much looking forward to that.
And the tour.
And the tour. The band's going on tour as well. Check on our website. We've got the dates for February and March. A bunch of places they'll be hitting. Now, I don't know why Lars is not here. Oh, there he is.
Come on in.
I'm on the internet.
Did you listen to the... you just walked in the door, but have you heard the Slater Kenny song?
Oh, absolutely.
You liked it, okay,
shouldn't
didn't
we,
you?
Shouldn't we say something like who he is?
Oh.
NPR Music's Lars Gotrich.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, and yes, I know you're a massive Slater Kenny fan.
Oh, my gosh. I am over the moon about this announcement. So when Sub Pop announced that they're going to be reissuing Slater Kenny's back catalog on vinyl, I was like, oh, that's cool. I already have these records, but I'm glad other people. And then apparently on Friday, somebody discovered a 7-inch with another song. I'm like, what is going on? Why didn't anybody tell me this? So I was very happy to discover.
I love that all those fans are out there discovering these little Easter eggs that are always hidden in things like this, and that they find them, and then the word gets out. How fast the word gets out.
And then when you found out they're going to actually be here touring?
So here's a little thing. The last time I saw Slater Kenny was the summer of 2006, when I was an itty-bitty little intern for All Songs Considered. Yes. And
that's right.
And the first show that they tried to perform at the 9:30 Club, the fire department came and the show couldn't happen because of the blown transformer or something. It was just too hot.
And the rock and roll blew it out.
The whole they had to clear the whole club that night.
Mm-hmm.
Our webcast got busted.
Yeah.
I forgot all about that.
And then a handful of days later, maybe two,
they rescheduled. And we still have that. I looked it up. We still have that.
We were talking about it just before you walked in.
Oh, We still have that set.
I was going through a crippling divorce at the time, so I don't really remember much about that show, but I do remember that we webcast it.
I was like right in the front row. I was just ecstatic the whole time. It was the only time I'd ever gotten to see them, so I'm excited about them.
We'll put
back.
You in. You can stand on my shoulders, and I'll put you in the front row.
Awesome.
For the next one.
Lars is actually here to share some music from a band that one might say might have even taken some inspiration.
I'm sure it's
Slater
somewhere
Kenny.
In the background. So there's this band called Cayetana from Philadelphia. They're going to be part of a live webcast that we're putting on at the Poisson Rouge this Wednesday at 8 o'clock.
This is during the week of CMJ, which is sort of a marathon of music that happens all week long at different clubs all scattered all over the city. And
we're putting on a show, and as is our want, our bill's a little over the place. And so we have Cayetana, a Philly punk band, right alongside two R&B singers and BJ the Chicago Kid. And
L. Varner,
thank you. And then a pop singer, Leah Isis. So,
and Franny will come on in a little bit. Franny Kelly will come on and talk, and we'll play a little music from L. Varner.
Yeah. So Cayetana, they come from this, what Philadelphia is just having an amazing punk scene right now. You got No Other, you got Hop Along, you have Restorations, who we actually have as a first listen this week, two baseball-named bands, Little Big League and Modern Baseball. And Cayetana is just a big part of that. And the thing that I like so much about Cayetana is that they do so much with so little. It's a very basic, jangly, not really that distorted kind of punk rock band. And so Augusta Koch has this voice that's kind of like she's throwing her voice against the wind and is driving a car as fast as she can. It's that kind of recklessness that I enjoy so much about this band.
What are we going to play?
Hot Dad Calendar.
Oh, right. Good. Good. Yes, I like that.
I love that. Hot Dad Calendar.
Yeah, best title that we're going to have all show for sure.
Take a deep
You were saying you love the mundane. Songs about and about the mundane.
Yeah, I do. It reminded me a lot of the kind of 90s slacker Gen X music that I used to listen to, music that finds poetry in the most mundane things. You know, I'll help you clean out your basement, fall asleep on your floor. I connect with that so much more profoundly and deeply than I do story songs about, you know, crazy adventures that, you know.
Or the the somewhat overblown emotions of I'll climb mountains for your love or
right,
something.
Right, right, yeah.
That stuff's fun, too. Come on, Bob. Aren't you a romantic?
Did my eyes just roll? Did you hear that on the radio? I find, actually, there's a lot that's romantic about that mundane stuff.
And, oh, absolutely.
And, yeah, right. And,
Well, you've told me before, your favorite love song is by Brian Eno.
I'll come running to tie your shoes.
Yeah, I'll come running to tie your shoes.
Totally, absolutely.
You know what? We should just go to New York right now and get Franny on the line and have her talk about Elle Varner, who's also on the CM. Oh.
Let me dial the number.
I'm here.
Hi.
Greetings, New York. This is Washington, D.C. Are you reading?
Yes, sir.
Yes. This line goes under the Amtrak.
Did you know real?
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah, they laid the line.
How far under?
Oh, that's we should search the internet for that. Wow. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome. Good. Busy.
I'll
good.
See you on Wednesday, because on Wednesday night at it starts at 8:30 on the East Coast, is our show that we're doing during the week of CMJ, which starts with the band we just heard, but it goes other places. What are you going to tell us about?
Indeed, it does. It's funny that you guys were just talking about sort of romanticizing the mundane, because I think that both of the R&B artists on our bill do that a little bit. I would phrase it a little bit differently. I think that they kind of bring conversational language to fairly casual scenes and romanticize them. And it's really nice and funny.
Wonderful.
And so our headliner is Elle Varner, who went to NYU just like I did and was taught by Jason King, who is now the host of our R&B channel, just like I was.
Wow.
Yeah,
he can teach
you how to do it and how to write about it. So Elle's been around for a minute. She's a songwriter and a performer. She actually co-wrote a song by an R&B singer you guys know and love, Miguel.
Mm-hmm.
And that song was Use Me, which was on an album of slightly left of center R&B songs, love songs. Use Me was even more like feminine than the rest of them. It's the one on which he says, it's the very first time and I'm nervous. Can I trust you? And when I heard that song, I was like, oh, this guy is for real. And to know that Elle co-wrote that song makes a lot of sense for some of the things that she talks about in her songs.
This song we're going to play is from a new record or from her first record? Or
From a forthcoming, which will be her second studio album.
And what's the song?
It's called I Don't Want to Dance.
Really need I told your ass not to go to that damn party. You don't listen. Now you singing this damn sorry song. We could have stayed home and watched Martin. Brought man from the fifth floor with the milk a carton. Coming through your window, we pillow talking until the morning. Hit the studio, making love skit and let you record it. Put it on your album. That should've be so retarded. Then your pretty body. I just wanna Polaroid and blow it up. Put it on my wall so we can both enjoy it. Taking it down if my friends come over so they don't focus on it. Cause I'm selfish with my baby. Never felt this from a lady. Got me going crazy. All them clubs janky. And you need to get back home to me. Giving your body a massage with the cozy feet. New perfume, earlobes are sweet. Forget them ghetto ass clubs with them phony.
Talk about crazy catchy choruses, like we were talking with the Sleater Kinney song. And the themes too, Franny, that you were talking about. You know, this song could be all about the extraordinary night that she has of getting on the dance floor and tearing it up. And, you know, but she says, I've been here too long. I don't really want to dance. And I hate most of these songs. And I think that's my night out. That's way more like my night out than anything else that she could write about.
And the way it's like my night out is she's like, my feet are killing me.
Yeah, exactly. I love
that. I'm tired.
I love that.
And plus with Ferg at the end, who is one of my favorites. And like the directness and the just the simplicity of it, ironically, it makes you want to dance.
So headlining, she'll come on sometime. We start our evening live October 22nd, Wednesday. Elle Varner's going to headline. Probably guess it would be close to 10:30, 11 or something.
We'll see. Anyone's guess.
You can watch the whole thing online. If you're not one of the lucky few to get in, you can see it live as it happens online.
And then we'll archive.
And yeah. We'll archive it afterwards.
Fabulous. Thank you, Franny.
Thanks, guys.
See Take you care. Wednesday.
Yeah, later.
Cheers.
Bob, I'm starting to feel a little bad for you. You haven't had a chance to play anything this entire show yet. Did you even bring any music to listen to?
I've been sort of, I've had this week of Australia. It started with Leluc coming to town, opening for Jay Maskus the other night. It certainly is my most played record so far in 2014, the Leluc.
It's pretty impossible not to love that record.
And and then this weekend, Courtney Barnett, two nights in a row. I couldn't resist. she is so good. Didn't do much new stuff, but I know you around said, the corner there's going to be something great. She did the song Depreston, I think it's called, the song she did at the Tiny Desk, which was a new song. So if you haven't seen or you haven't, if you know Courtney Barnett, that would be a good place to start. But she's got two EPs, and that's sort of it. They put those two EPs and made an album out of it.
Said your favorite lyricist of 2014.
Absolutely, she is. And then today I've been going through, because CMJ, the music festival that happens all around New York, is this week. I don't listen to as many bands before I go like I do South By, but I listened to 200 this weekend.
Wow.
And I only came up with about 6 or 8 four-star songs, which isn't good.
Hmm.
But that said, Courtney Barnett was my discovery last year at CMJ. I saw her 3 times. so I'll walk away with something amazing. But here's something. It's and this band is called Immigration Union, one of my 4-star songs out of the list of 200. And as I discovered, they are Australian.
Go figure.
I'll play a second of the song, and then I'll play the whole thing. This is just for you, Mr. Hilton.
Yeah!
See, that's all.
I'm there. You've got me.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to play the song. It's called War is Peace from an album called Anyway by Immigration Union. Kick it out,
You're baiting me, aren't you? You're just baiting me. That had everything. It had the foot stomping and the group sing along and those hand claps. I couldn't resist.
I thought you'd like it. Immigration Union's a group. They're from Australia.
Somebody tweeted over the weekend, hey, Robin, I hear you like songs with hand clapping in it. And they sent me a YouTube link for a song. I was like, well, I mean, yeah, I like hand clapping a song, but I mean, it's not like I'm going to just love anything you give me. And it, sure enough, as soon as the hand clapping kicked in, I was like, I can't help it. I love it. It's a band called Will, W-I-L. And the song was Morning Sun, by the way, if someone wants to check it out on YouTube. That was the video they sent.
And that was Immigration Union and the song called War Is Peace. I love their wordplay in that song. The album's called Anyway, and that record's out. They do a song. The last song on that record, Anyway, is with Courtney Barnett.
Come on.
Full circle. CMJ, Courtney Barnett this weekend, Immigration Union.
Well, maybe she'll appear on stage.
I would love that. She's in New York playing Webster Hall on Wednesday.
There
Unfortunately, the same moment that Al Varner is on the stage. So.
Well, you've seen Courtney. You've never seen Al Varner. So.
That's right. Yeah, no, I know where I'm going to be. But, you know, there'll be a small part of me that wants to.
Your heart is still with Courtney.
Yeah.
You know, the Flaming Lips have covered the entire Sgt. Pepper's album, Lonely Hearts Club album. You knew this, I think.
Yes. I haven't heard it yet. I just don't know what even to think about.
I know, right? So my first thought was, why would anybody do that? Why would you take, you know, it's not an album that just cries out to be remade or reimagined.
Is there a second thought? I've not gotten past thought one.
The second thought is, you know, I started listening to it. They're calling it With a Little Help from My Friends. My Friends.
Did I say that?
Yeah, Friends. I started listening to it and almost immediately thought, this makes me want to listen to the actual album by the Beatles. But the deeper I got into it and the more songs came up, the more interesting it got. And it became very, you know, lots of curious sounds. It's a much trippier take on Sgt. Pepper's. I mean, and Sgt. Pepper's was a pretty trippy record to begin with, but this is even more psychedelic, in some cases completely changing the vibe of some of the songs. Lots of synths, lots of drum machines, and they really blow some of these songs apart. And a lot of guest appearances on this record as well. I don't want to prejudice you in any way about who you're about to hear on this song. I'll just say that this is the Flaming Lips with Friends doing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Could you wind up a little bit? Thank you.
That is Miley Cyrus on lead vocals there on that song, with a little help from Moby, who also appears on that
track. I was going to say,
track.
I knew that voice. It sounded like a sample from Moby, but maybe not. Maybe he must have been there.
Yeah, so. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of other artists we love on this record. Foxygen, Tegan and Sarah, My Morning Jacket, many, many others get in on the action here. The Flaming Lips, they're no strangers to covering records that a lot of people might consider sacred. Perhaps most prominently, we redid Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, which I certainly consider a sacred work of art. But I was fine with them doing it because I know that they love the music and they respect it. And they're at the end of it all, they're just having fun. They're just a band that loves to play great music and have fun. And
my take was almost that, which is that they had a great time making this record. I will never put that on.
Really? I think you need to...
I'll listen to it in context of the record. Beginning to end.
Yeah, the whole thing. And it's a grower, I think. Because you have to first get past that initial hurdle of why would anybody do this in the first place.
I actually got through that okay, and I thought I almost liked it. and then when it got completely blown up in that awful distorted...
Yeah, super
sound,
distorted.
I just hate that sound. It's annoying.
Yeah, I don't dislike that sound. I like music that gets blown to pieces. They do a version of Fixing the Hole on this that is, it's very dreamy, less bouncy than the original. They do a version of She's Leaving Home that's all drum machines and synths instead of harps, and it almost swings a little bit.
Cool. Okay, I'll listen to it back to front.
Dude, it's out October 28th, and we have the whole thing up online as part of our first listen series right now if you want to go and hear it front to back.
I'll do that.
And, like I said, just the name of the record alone, with a little help from my friends, is so tongue-in-cheek and playful and cute to begin with. You know they're just having fun here.
Absolutely.
They're not trying to redefine this classic work of art.
Yeah. I was driving into work today listening to this tune by Teddy Thompson. Teddy Thompson is the son of two of the most brilliant minds in British folk music, and folk music, we'll just say, but British folk music in particular, Richard Thompson and Linda Thompson. And his mom and dad gave birth to Teddy. And Teddy, they just did a record together. It's a family album, literally a family album. Linda's one of the most beautiful voices ever. Richard has an incredibly deep, wonderful singing voice and great sense of melody, and also a brilliant guitar player. Mm. And then there's Teddy. And that's sort of way this song unfolds. And I was thinking today about how this is a very, very simple song. You'll hear the music, and it is as simple as folk music gets. It's a couple of chords just sort of backing it up. But the music just completely serves the lyrics. It doesn't do anything else, but just it's this underpinning to the lyrics. It's not brilliant music. But listen to his story. That's what you got to do here. Teddy Thompson.
What's the song?
The song is called Family, and it is from the album Family.
My father is one of the greats to ever step on a stage. My mother has the most beautiful voice in the world. And I am betwixt and between. Sean Lennon, you know what I mean. Born to the manor, never quite clamoring free. It's family. It's family. My elder sister is prettier than you'd believe. My younger sister is prettier still and can sing. And I am the middle child, the boy with red hair and no smile. Not too secure, very unsure who to be. It's fair. it's family. Grandmother gave me all of the love that she had. She lived for us kids, but never thought for herself. But she never dealt with her pain, and I've done exactly the same, pushing it down or trying to drown it away. It's family. It's family. Come very close to a family of my own. I thought I could just let it come to me as I am. But you gotta know how to choose happiness over the blues, light over dark, willing to start something new. It's family. It's family. It's family. Oh, it's family.
John Lennon, you know what I mean. What a great line at the top of that song.
It is. It's a lovely song. And I have to say, I was the whole time, though, I kept thinking about how Teddy must be the son for whom Richard Thompson wrote the song, The End of the Rainbow, which is just about the most depressing, awful song you could write. There's nothing at the end of the rainbow. There's nothing to grow up for anymore.
Right, he's singing it to his son in the cradle.
In the crib. And it's just so depressing. I guess they've gotten over it, and they're... future's looking a little brighter.
Well, I mean, on this record, you have Richard and Linda Thompson, your brother Jack, sister Cammy, her husband James Walborn, and their nephew Zach Hobbs. It truly is a family effort. They intended to write two songs. They wound up with 10. The songs that both Richard and Linda are on, who are the people who are so part of my DNA that I'm terribly attracted to them and can't get away from it, are
sure.
Just beautiful. But all the other songs by all the other folks are good, too. It's a surprisingly wonderful record. I have to say surprisingly wonderful because family affairs can be indulgent. There's no, like, sometimes not the right editor to say, hey, you know, that's not going to work as well. Or that,
right. Yeah. Who are you going to turn to when everyone's in the same right. family together?
They're
right?
just going to fight.
Right. Yeah.
But they did it well.
There's no end of the rainbow. There's nothing at the end of the rainbow.
Well, yes, there is. Let's have that fight.
That's beautiful. Let's go out on the music of Gremlin. Do you know Gremlin? G-R-M-L-N.
Mm-hmm.
Gremlin, this is Udo Park. He's a young guy from Southern California. Being from that part of the country, he has, not surprisingly, an affinity for the kind of music that you listen to with the windows down when you're driving. And last year, he put out a record called Empire. He's already back with a follow-up this year called Soon Away, another full-length record. And like all great driving music, Bob, it rocks out, but it's a little wistful. Music for you to get lost in your thoughts.
So it's the wind blowing through my hair.
Exactly, yeah, as you're speeding down the highway. And there's a line in the song I want to play from the record. The record's called Soon Away, and the song I want to play is called Of Nothing. And there's a line in this when he says, are you all right? Tell me you're all right. And it's the chorus that he repeats throughout the song. And even though it's a rock song, it made me a little wistful thinking of all the people I have known in my life who weren't all right. And see what you think when you listen to the song Of Nothing from Gremlin and the record Soon Away.
Fabulous. Well, I'm going to New York tomorrow.
I'll be here at the office working away Wednesday night, running the webcast from here, watching it on my screen with the rest of the world.
I'll try and see at least 10 bands a day. I'll
Good
let
luck
you know how
that.
I do.
Good luck with that.
Tiny Desk is the Instagram I'll be doing lots of pictures from, and of course, at All Songs. And, you know, maybe when we come back, I'll talk about the ones the discoveries I made, or maybe I'll do a blog post or something.
Tell us about some of your surprises.
Right. But the Instagram account is probably the best, and the Twitter account are probably the best things if you want sort of like, oh.
Instagram account, one more time.
Tiny Desk, one word. Been having fun taking pictures.
You've gotten pretty good at it. You got yourself a fancy camera this spring. Was it the spring?
Yeah.
Early spring, late winter. And you've figured it out. You've had some pretty incredible shots. I think my all-time favorite, honestly, is the one of Ty Siegel for that show when he was standing. he falls back into the audience. He's crowd surfing, still playing his guitar solo, mind you. And then he stands up on everyone, kind of lifts him up, and he's standing on the shoulders of everybody, their hands holding him up. It's a great shot.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Look for some of those moments at CMJ.
See you soon.
Gremlin, Of Nothing.
For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.